Welcome to Siftalkers, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Miranda, joined by my real life brother.
They call me Steve.
And welcome to episode 94, Light of the Jedi, baby.
I don't ever remember a Jedi protruding light.
We are all the Republic. There you go. All right.
What? The Jedi aren't Republic.
We are all the Republic.
But Jedi is not Republic.
Jedi
right?
In the Republic.
But they're not. They're a Jedi. They're not a part of the Republic. Right?
What do you mean? They serve. They basically like are together with the Chancellor.
So they're the Empire.
Hand in hand with the Republic.
Yeah, but they're not. They uphold their own law, right? They're the Jedi way, not the Republic.
Well, they have their own ways, but
they're like higher. Actually, if you think about it, they're kind of like higher.
Did you read the fucking book? Did you read the High Republic book? No, I read the book. So you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. All right, so welcome to episode 94, The Light of the Jedi. And as obviously the main topic today will be The Light of the Jedi book by Charles Soule. We got some great other topics. We got some segments for you guys. But first, I'm going to get it out of the way. I just want to thank everybody for listening out there in the podcast world. Please follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify.
Isn't the podcast world just the same as the normal world? Like, it's just the world, right?
I don't know, because we're going into, like, the WandaVision. I don't know if you're watching WandaVision.
I heard it's really good.
It's really good. Spider-Verse, like, it's a whole new world of new of Spider-Man's galore. We got Tobey, Andrew Garfield, and we got the new Tom Holland boy. I don't know what just happened. This isn't episode 94 of the musical.
We're not watching another Bully Maguire, are we?
He's going to be in the Spider-Verse.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, right. I just want to thank everybody for listening out there. Please follow us on all the podcast platforms. If you're watching us live tonight on YouTube, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. We really do appreciate it. Follow us on all our social medias at Sift Talkers, on Instagram, on the Twitter, on Facebook. Shoot us an email, sifttalkers@gmail.com. But who emails anymore? And if you're feeling generous, I have set up Stream Elements or Buy Me a Coffee. You could tip us, tip the show. It helps. You're not entitled to tip in any means, way, shape, or form. If you just want to listen, that is just fine. I love you all the same. But I figured I'd throw that out there. So, yeah. So, oh, man. You're like my Vanna White. So, all the podcast listeners, I'm sitting there just, you know, just trying to plug the show at the beginning. Just get it out of the way so I don't have to do it for the rest of the episode. And he's over here like Vanna White making faces and stuff at me. So there you go, audio listeners.
Because it takes him 9 hours.
That's a lot of stuff.
All of your shit.
Yeah, hey.
You know what? Watch this. Here. Okay. Audio listeners, podcast listeners, you tell me. Give us some feedback. What do you like? Do you like Lando's giant spiel? Or do you rather it just sound like this? Thanks to all you force fuckers out there.
All right.
Follow us on all forms of social media. You asshats know what that is. Fuck you. And listen to more of us.
All right. So all the podcast listeners, also check us out on YouTube. Like, we're doing a live stream tonight, but we also do reaction videos every Saturday and Wednesday. And coming, we will be doing try not to laugh videos and try not to headbang videos. So we're going to dip our toes into some newer, different videos. And that'll all be on the YouTube channel. So it'll be lots of fun. So check us out on YouTube, Sift Talkers.
I knew you had a foot fetish.
What?
Huh?
Anyways, all right. So, Steve?
Yeah.
Really quickly. So you know how Lando likes to start the show off, the podcast off. You know, something random. you know, random. Rando. I tried to do this last week without you. Rando with Lando. Right? And you gave me a little.
Because it's
Rando with Lando. What's he gonna say today? It's Rando with Lando. He's my brother. Maybe Lando. Rando. What's he gonna say today? Oh, it's Rando. Lando. What's he gonna say?
This is what I'm gonna say. Dick time! Dick time! Rando.
Me.
Who's got the biggest dick? Dick time, dick time with Lando. You know it's dick time with Lando. Dick time, dick time with Lando. Dick time, dick time with Lando. Who's got the biggest dick?
Me.
Got the biggest dick. Dick time. Dick time. Dick time with Lando. With Lando. Sif Talkers, it's now time for everybody's favorite segment, Dick Time with Lando, Star Wars character versus Star Wars character, who has the biggest dick? All right, so this week I figured I would do, you know, we're going to do the High Republic. You know, for the main topic. So, but I think we go back a little further. We do the Old Republic, and I'm going to let you choose your own Old Republic person.
Yeah,
but Lando what
is a Snoop Dogg in the High Republic?
Oh boy, it's almost better than the 3POO joke.
The DB69 joke was hilarious.
I thought it was good. Check that out. It's a YouTube clip and it's on last week's podcast. Okay, but dick time. Lando for the Old Republic has Darth Bane.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
I have Darth Malak.
Ooh.
Because that's a nerd I can get into is the Old Republic, right?
I like it. This is like really tough because Darth Bane is the Sith Lord who is he's the one who started the rule of two.
Yeah.
So
but Darth Malak is one of the baddest motherfuckers.
Yeah, he's back Knights of Old Republic.
Yeah.
Right. So
isn't that what we're doing?
Well, just old, you know, Old Republic era.
Yeah, because
Darth Bane kind of comes in at the end.
Yeah,
right. He helps wipe out the Sith.
Yeah.
So you know, he's Malak the one that's left.
Malak just murders his brother to prove
Malak,
point.
Yeah, Malak was there with Revan. Right.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Malak's awesome. Great character. If you guys have played the game, beautiful, really good story.
You know what? Ty. I think they're both awesome characters.
Agreed.
Yeah.
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 Actually, you know what? Darth Revan for the win, because if we could get Keanu Reeves.
Please.
Please.
All right. Hey, you know what we do, Sif Talkers. Yeah. Darth Revan has the biggest dick. Oh, wait a minute. Did you just do the... And you're the one that gives me shit about doing my own sound effects that I'm going to add in later.
We're live, though. But so, we're live.
But this is a live podcast that I am going to edit for the audio listeners. So there will be a do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
So confused.
And this has been Dick Tom and Lando, Dick Tom and Lando, Dick Tom and Lando, Dick Tom and Lando. Who's got the biggest dick?
Me.
Who's got the biggest dick? Dick time with Lando.
You heard it first. Little dick time with Lando. Think about that.
Oh, boy.
Self-admission. I didn't say it.
All right. So just cruising along from dick time. I'd like to do one more quick segment. And we haven't done this in a really long time. We're going to do Who Does It Better? That's right, Sip Talkers, where we do an impression. And you let us know who does it better. But we got some new rules. This year, for 2021, Who Does It Better, we're just going to wipe the slate clean so you can do any impression that we want. Again, slate is clean. But the new rule is, any impression we do must be in the Star Wars world. So it must be, when you're doing it, you must be doing quotes or just talking about Star Wars or have talking about something to do with Star Wars. Okay? And since we're wiping the slate clean, Steve, I figured I would give you the pleasure of picking the impression that we do this week.
Got it.
All right.
I don't like the sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating. Not like you. You're soft and smooth. I haven't heard that before.
Okay, obviously I'm at a handicap here. This is Christopher. Christopher. Star Wars.
You know, I was just going in the Tashi station to pick up some power converters. Uncle Owen. But all my friends are in the academy.
What are you, John Travolta?
Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter, I was just going to the Tashi station to pick up some power converters, Mr. Carter.
Mr. Carter.
You know I can't do Chris. That's the, like I said, I'm handicapped.
You said I get to choose. It's not my fault.
Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Luke, use the Force, Luke.
What?
All right, there you go, Sim Talkers. There it is. Who does it better, Lando or Steve? Christopher Walken in a galaxy far, far away. Hit us up. Hit me up on Instagram and let me know who did the impression better. Or comments below on YouTube or comments in the chat. But obviously, Steve. I guess I sound like John Travolta. So
yeah, it was a great John Travolta.
Maybe I should go with that next time.
Kicked my ass on that one.
All right. Hey, I got a question for you, Steve, before we move on. Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
If he was in Star Wars.
Yeah.
How would he be portrayed in Star Wars? Would he be a villain? Would he be a good guy? Would he be a Sith? A Jedi?
He'd be Han Solo's dad.
We get flashbacks. Han. Now... This is how you hold your blaster.
You really do sound like John Travolta, man. Like, I mean, it's kind of eerie how good that is. If you, like, I'm glad I don't have a John Travolta impression.
Oh, you Sandy.
You sound like Vinnie Barbarino.
Oh, Sandy. All right. Anyways, Christopher Walken. What you say? Han Solo's dad?
Han Solo's dad. Yeah, I'm serious. Han Solo's dad. Could you imagine that flashback? And it'd be, you know, him sitting there under Han being like, Han, never tell me the odds. Do you understand who you are? Yeah, mother, I don't know. Fuck a lot of women.
All right. All right. I think he would make a good like imperial like Moff or general. Or right yeah. somewhere high ranking with the Imperials.
I agree.
Lord Vader. Hokey religions. I'm not conjuring up the data tapes. No.
No.
Sif Talkers, what do you think? What kind of character do you think Christopher Walken would be in Star Wars? Imperial? Rebels? Can you see it like in an X-Wing? Red 5 reporting in.
It'd be funny if he was an Ewok.
I'm the one who made Leia's dress. Right, because that's the age-old debate. How did the Ewoks, you know, make... How did they have a dress, you know, that fit her?
Well, it's the other chick they ate. The one they actually ate, right?
You like, know they ate people.
They were going to cook them,
they
man.
They were ready like, to cook Han yeah, they were cook them. And Luke.
Yeah, so that's just the other chick that fell in Endor and that they fucking cooked, you know?
The dress fit perfectly.
Yeah, that was Leia's Padme. That landed first. Hmm.
All right. So, Sif Talkers, let us know who Christopher Walken would be in Star Wars. There you go. So, before we get to the main topic, because we're gonna stroll into the main topic. I have a company in the galaxy.
What?
It's Coruscant Chicken. They asked me to write a song for the commercial. Now, normally we have a sponsor and, you know, they come on and they do a little, you know, they do a little commercial for us. They wanted me to write a song for the commercial. So next week, I'm sure we'll get Coruscant Chicken, the commercial. This week, I'm going to play you the song I wrote for them for the commercial.
That was the most over-explained bit ever.
All right, here we go. Commercial song for Coruscant Chicken, future sponsor of Sif Talkers. All right, here we go. Coruscant Chicken's the place to be. It's the best chicken in the galaxy. Buy one breast and get one free. Dark or white, we got all the meat. So come on down and see your favorite place. To eat is Coruscant Chicken. We don't serve rancor. We'll bring your order straight to your door. Oh, oh. Ask all the Jedi Masters. Even ask all the Sith Lords. Oh, Lords. So come on down and see. Your favorite place to eat is Coruscant Chicken.
It's finger licking good. Chorus soft chicken, finger licking good. Yoda and Mei shove it in their face. Oh yeah. Well, Pops and Ma, when they're hungry, they know who to fucking call. That's right. Coruscant. Coruscant. Coruscant chicken.
So first off, I want to point out that one, racist against Rancor. It's fucked up. Two, pretty sure you can't say finger licking good. Copyrighted. Three, I don't know, that was pretty good.
All right. Buy one breast and get one too. There you go. So there you go. So future sponsor of Sith Talkers, Coruscant Chicken, and I wrote a song for him. There you go. All right, Sith Talkers, so on to the main topic of today's podcast.
Which is?
The Light of the Jedi novel by Charles Soule. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I like to think that the author's direction with his paragraphing and paraphrasing had much to be desired.
Anything?
I love chapter 6 specifically. Really, I think, drove home the narrative.
How many chapters were there?
You know, I don't like to confine things into confinement.
Ah.
Yep. You know, I like to think that books kind of have a free spirit. But I will tell you, on page 127, it got me. Go ahead and open up 127 and you just read a line.
We're live. Let's do it.
Yeah, 127. And you just pick any line from that page, really. And,
127.
127.
All right, I'm on page 127.
Yeah, you just...
All right, here we go.
Yep.
That will strangle the part of the outer rim, Chancellor.
And that is what I'm talking about. That's just power. You know, strangle, right? The line in the outer rim. That's strong stuff.
Oh, boy. All right, Sith Talker. So, Steve did not read the book. Lando read the book. So basically, I guess I'm here to school Steve on the Light of the Jedi and just give you my thoughts and opinions about the book. Spoilers ahead. Spoilers ahead. Spoilers ahead. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We'll be talking spoilers about the book to get into it. So Lando's thoughts, Lando's reaction to the book was... I was actually pretty excited to read this book just because it was out. And we've talked about this all the time. It was a story set outside of the Skywalker saga, timeline, whatnot, right? This is 200 years before The Phantom Menace. So, and it's the High Republic of the Jedi. So this is when the Jedi were, you know, flourishing out there and... Yep. What I really love about the book, I'll just tell you what I, you know, like I said, just my thoughts about the book. What I really loved about the book was, you know, it's a little tedious, man, because you get introduced to a lot of people. Like
Avar Chris.
It's like one of my favorite Jedi. Loden Greatstorm is actually one of my favorite Jedis, too.
From the story. Good. Yeah. But, you know, and then he's, of course, the master of Bell Zedivar.
Dude, so... I absolutely love him, and he's his apprentice.
Yep.
And I have a little side note that's in the book about him, but I'll get to that. So let me just give you the synopsis, Steve, and anybody out there, I guess, who hasn't read it. Like I said, spoilers. So here's like kind of like the synopsis of the book. So the book starts with it's a ship called the Legacy Run, and it's going to the Outer Rim, and it's supposed to be a symbol of hope of these people, you know, trying to go to the Outer Rim to actually be successful. And there's, there's 9,000 people aboard the ship, I do believe.
There's 9,000.
Are you like on like a page or something? No, look, I'm doing, like, I have some notes, but Lando didn't really write a lot of notes when I was reading it.
I wrote a little bit, but like not a lot. So I just wanted to really enjoy the book. So I'm kind of saying all this kind of a lot of it from memory.
Me too.
So bear with me because there's a lot of characters and you get introduced to a lot of people. But the Legacy Run, it's going to the Outer Rim. It's traveling through hyperspace and it comes upon another ship in hyperspace and they try to go around it. Obviously are unsuccessful, and that's why it's called The Great. It's the beginning of the book is like The Great Disaster. It's like The Great Disaster. The first third of the book is all about this disaster in hyperspace. So that's what basically happens at the beginning. There's a hyperspace collision, or the way it describes it in the book, they're trying to go around, and it tears the ship apart. So basically what's happening is there's what they call them emergences, and they're pieces, debris, of the ship that's split apart, and I do believe there's about seven or eight fragments.
And if it wasn't for the Wookiee Jedi, right?
Yes! You're cheating. But anyways, I'll get to that. But so these fragments, they're traveling at like hyperspace speed. Yep. So they're moving so fast when they come out of hyperspace, wherever they're coming out of, they could crash into a planet and destroy it. So... Yeah. So basically, the whole first third of the book is the collision, them trying to figure out what's happening, and then it's Hetzel. That's the system we get introduced to at first, where the chunks are coming out of hyperspace, and there's a couple guys, you know, down there, and they see them. They try to evacuate the planet because there's like a billion people that live there.
The planet Hetzel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the Jedi get called in. And number one, they have to figure out how to stop stuff at the speed of light from crashing into the planet.
Yeah.
And then number two, during all of this, there's another piece of debris that has Tibetan gas in the debris that's going towards the sun, which could destroy all the planets in the system. And that would kill billions of people. So what was really, really cool about, like, so obviously there's tons of more stuff. I'm just trying to give you a general thing that happened. But what's really cool was that Avar Kriss, her Jedi ability is to enhance force powers and bring them together among the Jedi. It's kind of like a Jedi mind meld, which is in the expanded universe as a Jedi power.
What's interesting is it seems like in this book that all the Jedis almost have like specialties, which I think is cool.
Which is really cool because Avar Kriss, she sees the Force as music and she interprets the Force as music and hears the Force as music, which was really, really cool. So, but she has to get all the Jedi and get them all together, minds, to stop the debris from crashing into the sun, and it takes all their force powers to stop it. So basically, once again, like I said, I mean, I can go into some more details, but that's kind of like the general basis of what's going on. Crash, debris is going into the Hetzel planets, and then the Jedi show up and they actually save everybody. There's a character. He's like, obviously, he's like the nerdy, smart guy, and he's the one who gets tasked. I can't think of his name. I want to say Tar something, but he gets tasked with trying to figure out how to track the rest of the pieces coming out of hyperspace, right? Because they got to figure out how they can track them. And what's really cool is, not to jump ahead, he gets thousands of Nava droids and links them together to figure out how to track all the pieces, which is super cool. You know, and they're trying to find the flight box, you know, kind of like on an airplane that records everything. So they're trying to find that so they can find out what the heck is going on and find out how this collision happened. Because the book dives into hyperspace and it explains it as they're single lanes. And it's kind of like you get on an on-ramp and off-ramp when you travel through hyperspace, and it's empty. It's just that lane is just for you. So there shouldn't be anybody else in the lane. So that's why they're trying to figure this out. Other characters in the book that are like hyperspace experts are the Santecas, and which is connected to Max, the guy at the beginning of The Force Awakens.
it's his character. He's like related to these two characters that are in the book.
The guy that dies at the beginning.
Yes. So there's a connection there, but like they're like masters at the hyperspace. They know like everything about it. But then we get introduced, like I said, the whole front is this collision and then saving the planets. But then we get introduced to the Nihil, and they are right. They're the bad guys of
space pirates.
They're martyrs. They're murderers. Okay. Look at it this way.
Space pirates.
But it reminds when I read it, it's funny, man, because they have structure. Tempest runners who are like the leaders of the different groups. And then they have like, clouds and strikes, and those are all the grunt work, you know, the grunts of it. But what's cool is, I don't want to say what's cool, but like, dude, they're like savages. Like they have like no rules.
Well, because they're not technically led by the Eye of Nihil, right?
No. So that's the main villain of this series is, Marshawn Markhan Roe. And he's the Eye of the Nihil. And he has a secret, which only he knows about, which was passed down from his father because he was killed, where he has access through hyperspace lanes called pathways. And he's allowed to skip through and go around. He doesn't have to use hyperspace lanes, on ramps, off ramps. He can just hyperspace anywhere he wants. But he has Mari Santeca, who is like, he's keeping alive, like in this like medical capsule. And she's like over 100 years old. And like, we really don't know what's going on with her. We don't know how she's still alive. We know she's real weak. We don't know if she has force abilities or this and that, but she's being kept alive because some way she can give him all these hyperspace pathways. And that's why he's the Eye. He gives all these pathways of hyperspace traveling, or you can call it skipping or shortcuts. He gives all these special pathways to the Nihil so they can do their jobs easier, right? So they can wreak havoc easier. Like I said, really interesting. There is structure to the Nihil. Like I said, the Tempest Runners, the Eye, and they do sometimes take it to a vote, and then the Eye is like the tiebreaker when it comes to like voting. But like I said, man, they're savages because when you get introduced to them, they ran like a little mission and one of their, you know, Nihil people died. And so when they're in their, it's in no space, which is kind of cool. They're like where they meet, it's called no space. And it's like this bubble and there's no like surroundings on it. It's like open. Anyways, they come back and the guy's like, hey, we succeeded, but you know, one of the Tempests was just like, but didn't your guy die? You know, because they were stealing something. I can't remember. But if the guy didn't die and blow up his portion of whatever they were stealing, then they would have gotten more out of the attack. And because somebody died, he was like, hey, because one of your guys died and didn't bring back his share, we got to kill someone else on your team. You know what I'm saying? So like they're it reminds me of the Joker, right? Because the Joker just like, he just wants to burn everything. But he has a plan, but like he does have a plan, and it is, you know, he has everything in order, but he doesn't give a shit. And that's the Nihil. They don't give a shit. They will fuck you up any which way they can. And when you get to the end of the book, so here, let me try to piece this together for you, Steve. So like, right, we got the collision. The Jedi save everything. And then you have Avar Chris and a Jedi. They're like the Obi-Wan of Attack of the Clones. They're trying to investigate how this happened. And they go visit the Santeca, right? They go visit the Santeca's people and they're just like, hey, you're the experts. Do you know anything? And then the one guy's building all the robots to track down to see if he can figure out where all the rest of the, you know, debris is going to shoot out of hyperspace. And they're looking for the airplane box, right? The flight box, so they can get more details on what happened. So, like, you have this big investigation going on. But then also, you have Chancellor So, and it's cool. She's got, like, these two big, like, cat creatures or whatever, which is super cool. But she's the Chancellor of the Republic. We are all the Republic. And she, her whole thing, because at the beginning of the book is Starlight Beacon is finished building. And it's basically like a way station that's put out in the Outer Rim, and the Jedi are going to be on there, and it's to connect the core with the Outer Rim. Her vision is she wants to unify the core, the mid rim, the outer rim, and have, you know, everybody unite. That's her whole mission and goal, is to unite people. That's why the Starlight Beacon is so important, and it has to like succeed, and it has to get up, and it has to work. But then this disaster happened and it put that on hold. So I wanted to throw that in there. So the beat, cause that's how the book ends, with the ceremony of the Starlight Beacon, right? The activation of the Starlight, where, like I said, and it's cool because it's like a way station where people can negotiate. If you're hurt, you can go there. The Jedi are there to help. Like I said, it's trying to unite everybody. So I thought that was super, super cool. And that actually ties into the comic, which I read the comic also. The Starlight Beacon. So we get introduced to the villains, like the Nihil, but we find out, you know, they're against each other, right? Two. And what happens is, you know, like I said, the Republic and the Jedi, they're trying to figure everything out. And they find the box, right, that can tell them what's going on. But the Nihil know where it is. And the Eye knows where it is because he's got Miri. So what he does is he sends his like third of his fleet there to die, like on purpose. And you get this big, huge space battle near the end of the book between the Republic, the Jedi, and the Nihil. And what's going on is the Nihil, they're losing. And I'll tell you this, during the space battle.
I get it. So he does it to make the Republic think they won.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Smart.
Yeah. So this
Ro dude is really smart, clearly.
He's like Palpatine in a way.
Yeah, he's got a lot, like he seems like he's a few steps ahead of everybody.
Yes. But okay. The cool thing about the space battle was the Nihil, they start doing hyperspace jumps during the space battle. Like just like in going from like inch to inch mark, hyperspacing. Just like this. So it's like all completely random. And then when they knew they were going to lose, they were hyperspacing into Republic ships on purpose, destroying themselves. Yeah. Like I said, so at the end of it, they annihilated themselves, taking Republic people with them. Yeah. It was really cool. It was actually a really, really cool space battle because we've never seen a space battle where the bad guys per se were purposely killing themselves just to get rid of more of the good guys. That's what I'm saying, man. Like they knew it too. Like they knew what they were doing. They didn't care.
Gotcha.
They sacrificed themselves for the greater good of the Nihil. Yeah, man. It's like, this is what I'm saying, dude. These guys are greater. More than pirates, you know?
Hey man, that's just what this synopsis calls.
Yeah, no. And that's what you can label them, martyrs. Yeah. But the thing is, there's a nice little storyline with Marshawn Roe. He sends Karzav, that's the guy who died during the space battle, and then he sends he tells them to kidnap this family. Like I said, I don't remember where, there's so many locations and people, but then that becomes kind of like a central story thing. You know, this family gets kidnapped. It's a father, mother, and then two children. But Jedi just so happened to be stationed there, and then they find out, and then they end up chasing the Nihil with the kidnapped family. Dude, it's this big, like, thing, too. And Loden, Grey Storm, and his apprentice, they're the ones who are chasing the Nihil. And then there's this other, like, really old Jedi. I can't think of his name. But, like, he even, like, goes into action and chases the Nihil. And, like, he's kind of been, like, retired for like a really long time. He's like 300 years old, which was super cool.
Ro kills Otto though, right?
What?
Ro kills Otto.
Yes.
Odin's lightsaber.
Well, here's the thing. So, like I said, during the kidnapping, and you got to remember that the book doesn't like go, here's what happens with people A, and then it goes all the way. No, like you get a chunk, and then like you're with somebody else, right? You get a chunk with somebody else. So the book like really skips around because you want to get back to, I want to get back to Loden and his apprentice chasing the Nihil. But like, right. But then you're in the space battle or you're doing this.
So Loden. So Loden's a main character.
Yeah. He's just one of the Jedi.
Okay.
Great Storm.
Right. So does he die? I'm a little confused.
No, but
Ro gets his lightsaber enough to kill. All right,
so once again, they're doing this kidnapping just so they can get this rich family Jedi. and do a ransom. Right. That's what Marshawn Ro tells everybody. Kidnap this family.
Right.
We'll do a ransom and we'll get some, you know.
Right.
We can move ahead. That's what we do. Right. We're the Nihil. But the only person that makes it to Marshawn Ro is the dad. So the mom gets away and then the kids, like the Nihil, they like chuck the kids like out of the like fucking speeders and shit in the spaceship.
Yeah.
So. One thing I wanted to point, like I said, I know I'm all over the place. Like I said, this book was like really, really, there's a lot of stuff that was happening in this book. I could sit here and talk like for hours about it. But during the chase, Loden has a chance to save the dad. But at the very last second, the Nihil show up in greater force and trap him and the dad. And that's how Marshawn gets Loden, Greystorm, and then the dad.
Right, okay. And then I got it.
So, but at the very end of the book, everything gets explained.
Yeah.
So, he kills the father right in front of the Tempest. Right, and then the other Nihil, I think her name was Laura D. Yeah. There's Panta, Casva, and Laura D. Those are the Tempest Nihil. So those are like the three top Nihil. Right. And the Casva guy, he dies in the space battle. That was like him and his crew, the third of the Nihil. But the Lona D, she's the one who shows up at the very last second and captures the Jedi and the dad. And then Marshawn kills the dad right in front of Laura D. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I have no use for him. She's like, well, what about the ransom? No. He said he knew the Jedi were stationed at that location. And if he had a chance to capture a Jedi, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
At the end of the book, dude, he just like unveils like his entire plan. So basically, Marshawn Ro was behind everything. He's the one who had the spaceship in the middle of the hyperlane on purpose to cause the disaster. He's the one who knew he was going to send a third of the fleet and have the Republic and the Jedi defeat them, thinking the Republic would think they wiped them out. He knew he was going to send them to kidnap the family, and he had a chance to capture a Jedi. So everything that happened was his plan on purpose for him. But at the end of the book, he's like the sole leader of the Nihil. And that was basically it too, right? To have everybody follow him.
Right.
Well, and he's the one who gives them all the pathways, the shortcuts too. But he's got this weapon though at the end of the book. It says it's a purple rod, and it doesn't get explained, but he has a purple rod. And near the end of the book, the Jedi, what was his name? Elza Mann. Yeah, Elza Mann and Avar Chris, they have like kind of like a romantic connection, which is kind of nice. Like I said, once again, I could sit here and talk about this book, talk about, you know, the Force powers and attachment and stuff like this. But like they have a really nice moment. But then Elza Mann has a vision of the future and it's like bad and it's death and destruction. And there's purple in his vision. And this guy has a purple rod. And this guy, Marshawn Ro, he hates the Jedi. We don't know why, but he hates them. And here's a nice little thing at the end. So he's got the Jedi, Loden Greatstorm, in prison.
Yeah.
He also has 50 prisoners next to him in a different holding cell. And he's torturing them all. So he goes and visits, and like I say, he tells them his entire plan, you know, just like any villain would do. Right? And he's like, and Loden's trying to use the force, and he's like, what? He's like taunting him. He's like, what? Can't use the force that great? Huh. And he tells him, he goes, you know why? He goes, because you see all these fuckers right here I got in prison? They're all in pain. They're all in fear. Your Jedi powers don't work so good with all this fear in the air.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that ties into the prequel trilogy with Palpatine clouding the Jedi and Mace saying in the prequel trilogy, maybe we should tell the Republic our ability to use the Force has diminished. He did say that in the movies. So this is kind of cool. This is 200 years before that. This guy knows how to suppress Jedi powers by keeping fear and anxiety and all these like really, really bad feelings in the environment. And that's all this Jedi can sense. That's all he can feel is fear and scaredness. And it suppresses his powers. I just thought it was really, I just thought that was really, really interesting.
There's 8 cells, and 7 of the cells have prisoners that are tortured by periods of shocks of the ship's electrical system. The pain they feel is designed to cut off the 8th prisoner, Loden Greatstorm, from the Force.
Exactly. I just thought that's really, really cool.
And then Michonne reveals that he was behind the legacy run.
Yeah, he, like a natural villain, he just literally spills his guts and just says everything.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the entire plan. So
I'm just going to leave you in the room by yourself for a little bit.
Pretty much. But like I said, there's just little tidbits. Well, you're talking about his apprentice, Loden Greatstorm's apprentice. He's got a nice little storyline where he's falling, free falling, and he can't stop himself from landing. And his master has to help him like every time he's trying. He's just, I'm never going to get this. He's 18 years old. And of course, I'm reading this book and I'm going, remember in Attack of the Clones, Anakin is what, 18, 19? And he's fucking free falling in Coruscant like it's no big deal. That just goes to show you how powerful Anakin Skywalker is. I'm just saying. Because here is an apprentice who's 18 years old. He can't figure out how to free fall and stop himself and land safely. But during the kidnapping, I told you one of the kids, it's a 9-year-old girl, 7 or 8 9-year-old girl, the Nihil, toss her out of the spaceship. I'm going to keep following the spaceship, Padawan. You go rescue her. Right, it all comes together. He free falls, saves the girl, stops himself and lands safely. Right through the failures, and then he finally gets it in the real world, which is kind of, you know, but like I said, I thought of Anakin when I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that just goes to show you how powerful he was and how ahead of even Jedi back in their prime, right? Because this is the prime time of Jedi, you know? And another thing that's really cool is all the Jedi view the Force and use the Force differently. Avar Kriss, like I said, it's like music to her. And when she's trying to connect everybody and trying to help, you know, get the debris at the beginning, there's a thing in the book that says she's missing something. She's missing a note and she's trying to figure it out. But then once she found the note, she was able to connect, like make everything stronger because she sees it as music. And then Elzar Mann, he's a more unconventional Jedi. That's why he's not a master. Kind of reminds you of Qui-Gon. At the end of the book, he becomes a master, though. But so everybody is a little bit different. And they have Jedi vectors, their spaceships, which you cannot fly and use their weapons without your lightsaber. It activates the weapons on the vector. I thought that was pretty cool. You know?
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And like once again, what I really liked about this book, just to be a little bit more general, is this had nothing to do with anything or anybody you knew. Yoda was there. Yoda was only brought up a couple times with the younglings. And that's it. He was brought up very, very briefly.
And that was it. The whole story was learning about the new Jedi, the new characters, and the new villains, you know, of the book. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. So sorry, I tried to explain this the best that I could from my memory. But yeah,
I could have just read the synopsis in like 10 minutes.
Oh boy.
Honestly, so you were telling the story and I was reading the synopsis with you. I think you told the story pretty well. You followed the synopsis really damn near.
Perfect. Now look, there's way more details, right? There's like pilots and near the beginning, there's a pilot and a droid, and the droid needs to go down and sacrifice himself, but something happens and the guy's got to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, it's got like, some story.
Like,
sure.
Like, no, man, there's like, you get, this is like Game of Thrones. You get introduced to people and then they die in the next chapter.
Well, that's like, what I said. You did I'm literally reading a synopsis along with you, and you pretty much fucking hit like all the points that the synopsis hit to a T.
Okay, well, that's good. Like I said, I don't, it's tough because so much stuff happened. The bad guys, they went to a system where they knew debris was coming, and they were like, hey, we can save you. Give me 50 million credits. And the lady's like, oh, it's the homeworld where Tarkin's from. The Euphorians, because they show up and help the Republic and the Jedi in the space battle.
Elfrona.
Sorry, like I said, I'm not real, dude. There's so many new names and stuff.
I'm reading it, so you're fine.
Yeah, and this is all from memory. But like, yeah, like the Kazab, one of the Tempest Runners, he goes and give me 50, and the lady's just like, I'm not giving you money. So they let the debris hit something and kill people, and she's like, okay. Here's 50 million. So, dude, he's like, let me wait till it's deposited. Cha-ching. All right, lady, before this hits your planet and kills billions, we got you. Well, the guy who was running the Navo computer miscalculated, and they weren't able to get the debris, and it killed like a million people. And the lady's just like, what's going on? So that's why they were pissed off. Like I said, side note, Tarkin was from there. So you see what I'm saying? Like, but that's what came to bite him once again. Marshall Rowe, it was all like, it just fed right into his plan, which was perfect. But like I said, just learning about the Jedi and the different powers, the Republic, like I said, you got some background with how the Republic was run. I was telling you, Chancellor So, she wants, you know, the thing, you know how, remember we did the Mandalorian shows and we always talked about theme? Well, the theme of the book was, unity and bringing people together. And she just wants to bring people together, right? She wants the Outer Rim to be part of the Republic. And what do we see time and time again in Star Wars? Tatooine, it's never part of the Republic. So we know 200 years before the Phantom Menace, the Republic was trying to get the systems to be with the Republic. And help them. I look at it this way, because we know Star Wars is based off war, Nazis, right? George Lucas was heavily influenced with that stuff. This really reminded me of, you know, let's say the United States putting like a home base, yeah, like over in a different country and saying, hey, this is our home base. If you need help, if you need supplies, if you need to negotiate, you can go there. We're going to help you. We want you to be with us, right? So it's kind of like saying, hey, you know, we're here to help. We want to be together. You know, we want the mid-rim, the outer rim, and the core to all be one. We are all the Republic. It's said like a million times through the entire book. We are all the Republic. And that is the thinking, is to bring everybody together. But obviously we know the outer rim, because when we get to the prequels, when we get to A New Hope, Tatooine is still the Outer Rim, and the Republic has no presence out there. So this fails. We know this fails. But and at the end of the book, just like the bad guy, he spills his whole plan. She does the same thing. She's just like, this is what I want. I want to bring everybody together. I want the Starlight Beacon to be successful. We need to unite and live, you know, kumbaya. But you know, that's not how it goes. But yeah, and Avar Chris, she ends up being the Jedi who's going to be stationed at the Starlight Beacon, because the Jedi who was there got killed.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, Jedi got killed and people got killed. Pilots got killed. A lot of deaths in the book. A lot of great characters. I told you the guy who put all the droids together was super cool. And he found, you know, that was the way they found the rest of the debris. And they didn't even know because they saved the Hetzel. Like I said, they saved the Hetzel system at the beginning. But at the same time, debris came out and wiped out millions of people because they didn't know where the, you know, they didn't know where they were going to come out of, you know, and these chunks are traveling in hyperspace. Yeah, super. I don't know. I absolutely loved it. I actually revitalized me with Star Wars reading. Like I said, I read it. Like I said, obviously I have the book. I didn't do the audio. I hear like the audio, like it does voices and stuff. I don't want to be that distracted with somebody else, you know, doing voices and stuff. I got voices in my head, but, I really liked it. So, I highly, highly recommend it. I've only read the first chapter. I didn't want to read that much because I knew I wanted to talk about the Light of the Jedi. I did also buy A Test of Courage.
Oh my God, there's another book?
Oh, there's three of them. So, but I'm going to read two because the other one is a junior. This one's like a junior read, but this is more of a, I'm getting a book, the Claudia Gray book on next week. That's a teen read, but it's 400 pages and it's High Republic.
I mean, you like Twilight, and that's a teen
read. Yeah, Hunger Games, Twilight, so... But yeah, like I said, this just dives more into the High Republic. That's how much I like the book. Like, I was like, I want to read the other ones too. And just, yeah. You don't have to. No, they said, they told you if you wanted to stick to the adult books, you can just do the adult books. If you're a junior reader, you can read all the junior ones. If you're a teen reader, you can read all the teen ones and be just fine. All this is going to go to the Acolyte show that's going to be on Disney Plus. The Acolyte show is going to be the female driven dark side show. That is at the end of the High Republic. Maybe that's where the Sith come in. I don't know. That's another thing I love. This book, no Sith. The Siths are the bad guys, right? It's we have these fucking savages who are the bad guys. And dude, the Jedi, the Republic, they don't know how to fight these motherfuckers. They don't. And remember, the Republic, they don't have an army, right? They don't have an army. They have the Jedi, but Jedis are peacekeepers. And there's a nice sequence at the beginning of the book where they do a peace sequence where they're trying to escape the planet, right? They're trying to evacuate the planet. This rich family has a big ship that can hold like 200 people. Now they have it locked behind a gate and they have guards. And like the two Jedi show up, and they're just like, hey, you have this ship. You need to utilize it and get more people off the planet. We need to evacuate. And they tried to be the peacekeepers, and the guards are just like, go fuck yourselves. And the guy was like, well, hey, I'm not going to be responsible for what happens next. And then they get more aggressive, man. You know, Anakin say?
This is exactly why Jedi are not a fucking part of the Republic.
But they are.
Exactly. No, right. They're not. They impose their will when they deem it necessary.
I'll leave with this small tidbit, because this got brought up in the book. They were debating whether the Jedi should help in the space battle. During the debate, the Jedis were talking about, well, we did help the Republic win the Sith Wars. That was in the book. Sith Wars and all the old Republic stuff, none of it is canon. Well, guess what? This book is canon. And guess what? They just brought up, they helped the Republic win the Sith Wars. So now we can get some books and go back about the Jedi and Sith Wars. That would be absolutely amazing.
Oh, no more books. It's boring.
Ugh. I don't know. What Sith Talkers, what do you... Sorry, like I said, this was... I knew this. I knew I was going to try to keep this short, but it's so difficult, man. So difficult. The book was so good. It had so much in it. I absolutely love it. Please, please, don't listen to all the negativity out there. I was all skeptical. Right, me and Steve, we did a podcast where we looked at the concept art and we were laughing at it. I mean, we were just like, what? High Republic? More Jedi stuff? I don't know. Great, great story. Like, once again, it comes down to story and content, and it's just a great story. So, two thumbs up from Lando over here. Please go check out Light of the Jedi. I highly recommend it. and you will not be sorry.
Unless reading books is boring.
Well, do the audiobook. Like, I guess they do the voices and stuff. Like, it's different voices.
No shit.
Yes. Well, no, because like back in the day, like whoever
I got it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, now they do like different voices. And
yeah, thank you.
We are all the Republic.
Oh my God.
I'm sold. I'm in. I'm in deep. I like it. I would want to see this like as a movie, like 1,000%. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll take the book. I love reading. So yeah, there you go. All right. So there. Like I said, once again, Sith Talkers, let me know what you think about Light of the Jedi. If you haven't read it now, like I said, if you're listening to this a month from now or 2 months from now, hit me up on Instagram. Message me. Let me know what you think about the book. I would love to hear what you think. If you hate it, let me know. All right. Anyway, Sith Talkers, I got a few more topics and then we will wrap it up tonight. You're going to love this, Steve. This is all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Here's the title of the next topic. John Boyega explains why big franchise movies can be luxury jail for an actor.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
I had to bring this up, man.
Are you serious?
He's back. John Boyega, Finn.
Are you serious?
All right, so you're
really right. Unbelievable. Are you being real? Like, you serious? Like,
I'm 100% serious.
Holy
shit. Here we
go.
John Boyega. Being in a big franchise is kind of like a luxury jail. Sometimes for an actor, when you want to do something else, Boyega said. Because remember, in a franchise, you're working on one character for many years, which can starve your other muscles. And in wanting to be in something where I knew that I'd play a different type of role, a different type of man, and knowing Steve McQueen through, we're all part of the same industry, so I heard about Steve's directing style, and I was really curious and excited to have the opportunity anyways to be part of it. And when it came through, I was on the telephone like, this is my moment.
Didn't he say he moved on from the Star Wars franchise like last summer? You know, for somebody who is so pissed off about what he had to do in Star Wars, he sure doesn't shut the fuck up about it.
Isn't he like basically just saying your type? Isn't this like basically saying your typecast? Right? Like,
who? Why? Why? What do you typecast? Hey, Mike, Harrison Ford.
Oh, Han Solo, Indiana Jones. Ooh, he played the owner of the Jackie Robinson movie. Like, perfect. Clear and present day. It was the one-armed man! The Fugitive!
What Lies Beneath. There's a lot of good movies that I can actually name. Isn't that really weird? Yeah. Hey, Mark Hamill!
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters!
Or you can think of him as the Joker.
Speaking of Mark Hamill.
Oh, God.
What did I send you? A couple days ago, I sent you a YouTube clip of him talking. What came out of his mouth? I just want to hear it out of your mouth. Because of all the conversations we've had.
Oh, no, that was awesome. But that doesn't vilify or vindicate or whatever your fucking anecdote of what it is. All he's saying in this interview, which, by the way, Daisy Ridley looks very uncomfortable.
Well, yeah.
All he's saying is what everyone's saying is that since the beginning, there was never continuity that was written. He literally says it at the very beginning, before
it was for Harrison, but not for me.
No, I saw that was actually.
Come on. Oh, Harrison gets to be quirky and gets his moments.
Listen, Harrison's the bigger actor, though. So listen.
Not in Star Wars.
It doesn't fucking matter, though. We're not talking about Star Wars. We're talking about real life. Real life, Harrison Ford's the bigger celebrity. So if Harrison Ford sits there and says, don't fuck with the character, else I'm not going to do it, they're going to listen. At the end of the day, who is Mark Hamill? He's Luke Skywalker and an animated Joker. And that's it. That's it. There's nothing else he does. What, Cockknocker? I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he's an amazing actor for what he does, but that's all he's done.
So you think Mark Hamill's typecast, is he Is he the
he's Luke Skywalker or the Joker? That's
is,
all
he, is he the luxury jail for?
I mean, listen, if I could be put in a luxury jail, I guess all day, please. Like,
what is wrong with John Boyega? Seriously, like, dude, you were in like Star Wars, and granted, your character. Way it was written was terrible. It wasn't his fault, though.
I would give my left nut to be Broom Boy. Like, what the fuck? Who cares? You're in Star Wars. Good for you. You're every little boy's dream.
Luxury jail.
Fuck you, luxury jail. You know what? Fuck you. I'm glad they fucked up your character. Fucking whiny little bitch. I would die to be Rose, okay? I don't give a fuck. Just to be in Star Wars would be insane.
I would die to be like the guy in the background with the jeans and the Mandalorian.
Fuck yeah.
The guy with the jeans. He was like in the back.
Yeah.
But they digitally removed him.
You know that stormtrooper that dies in the opening scene? Fuck you. I don't care. Put me in the suit. Don't credit me. Don't give a fuck. You know why? Because I know I'd be in the fucking suit.
I don't give a shit if I was like one of the blurry like background images like in a scene.
The fact that I could be on set in a childhood dream. Are you insane?
Out my scene, right? It's on the cutting room floor.
Fuck
don't care.
You. Fuck you,
but
dude.
Luxury jail.
Fuck you.
Let me get a line. Was he in luxury jail and his check cashed?
Yeah. Was he? Huh? Luxury jail, dick. Hey, what? John Boyega, go ahead. Tell me another fucking role he's been in.
Attack of the Block.
The fuck is that?
Exactly.
The fuck is that?
All right, Sif Talkers. So while Steve's on a phone call, I'm going to keep it rolling. I'm going to do one more short topic, and then we'll wrap it up. I don't know if anybody... I know we've talked about video games here in the past, but... what recently just happened with Star Wars and video games, obviously we got the announcement. There's going to be a ton of new video games, an open world game. But what's super cool was Star Wars Battlefront. Battlefront 2, to be exact. It just came free to play on PC. And literally, I think in like 2 or 3 days, it had 19 million new gamers playing the game. And the game has like been... dead, where you know they haven't really like updated it or done anything with the game. So I just thought that was super cool. So like right now, like if you want to play Battlefront 2, hop on. You can get in games so easy, and it's super, super easy. I'm not the biggest fan of Star Wars Battlefront because it's like Battlefield. I'm more of a Call of Duty person, but it's still lots of fun, and you can be like the Jedi heroes and like fight each other. But I just thought it was real interesting that 19 million people started playing this game again, and it's just gotten like so popular, and people are streaming the game. And I thought it was super cool. So and then also, like I said, with Battlefront, there's the Rogue Squadron game, which I have, which I'm absolutely terrible at. And then there's the Jedi Fallen Order, which, like I said, these are all EA titles. Like if once again. EA either needs to start updating Battlefront 2, or they need to make Battlefront 3 and release a new one. Because if you have all these new players that are jonesing for, you know, Battlefront, they need to do something. So, yeah, I thought that was a really strange thing to happen. You really don't hear about that, a game that's been out for several years. It's been, 2-3 years. It's been out, and it has a whole new player base because it's become free for PC. So, but yeah, I play on PlayStation. So, Lando, 5209 is my game handle. So, if you ever see me on there, that's me. So, yeah, and Steve doesn't have anything to add because he literally just stepped away. So... like literally nothing to say about it. But another thing that came out this week was the toys. That's what I wanted to bring up is it's the 50th anniversary of Lucasfilm, and there's a whole slew of new toys, Black Series. I think there's a lot of Black Series figures coming for the 50th anniversary. Like, just one more, like I said, just one more thing I just saw, and I just, my head just like went exploded, because I don't want, Lando doesn't want to go back to job number two to support his his Star Wars spending habit. So, like I said, I'll have to reel it in a little bit and only get the things that I really want. But it's really cool. It's got 50th anniversary on the packaging. And there's been a whole bunch of Qui-Gon, Darth Maul with the mechanical legs, I know is a figure of the 50th anniversary. So that'll be one I'll have to try to get, like, definitely. And I know, like, the Funko Pops, a whole bunch of new Funko Pops are going to be coming out. There's a whole bunch of Valentine's ones coming out. And then there's a handful of more Rise of Skywalker, the Emperor, Rey with the lightsabers, Ben, where he's shrugging his shoulders. And then there's a big 10-inch Babu Frick coming out. But yeah, man, I'm super, super pumped. Like I said, just with Star Wars in general, like I said, you know, I can sit here and just talk. But like, just the High Republic just has, I just think it's just perfect. It kind of reminds me of The Mandalorian. Like, Mandalorian, like, really brought people back into Star Wars and really got them excited about Star Wars again. And people are just like, this is how Star Wars is supposed to be. But, you know, it's still like in the Skywalker, world and realm. And when I got done, even in the middle of reading the book, The Light of the Jedi, I just really felt like, what a fresh story, a new perspective, you know, all these new characters. And I just think it was a nice, fresh take on Star Wars. And it actually got me really excited for Star Wars again. And, you know, kind of like what The Mandalorian did, but like, this was just a little bit different. And I was really glad that we didn't have any tropes in there. And, you know, the timeline was so far out that, you know, the Yoda was there, but like I said, Yoda was not utilized at all, which I was glad. Like, you know, he can have his own book, or we don't even need a Yoda book, but like, this was amazing to, you know, learn about Jedi in their prime and different force powers. And a new villain that was desperately needed, you know, in Star Wars, because, you know, we have the Empire, the First Order, the Sith. So it was kind of like a breath of fresh air with just all new thing, you know. And then, like I said, we watched The Mandalorian, and we just get revitalized because it reminds us of the original trilogy so much. At least it does with me. So I absolutely love, like I said, love the High Republic. I was real skeptical about the High Republic when I first heard about it, even before, because I didn't buy the book right away. You know, I was real skeptical about it. I was kind of listening to all the noise about it, of everybody kind of shitting all over it. But, you know, I wanted to make up my own mind, and that's why I just bought the book and figured what the hell, because I've read some of the Aftermath books, and I really didn't care for the Aftermath books. So, I don't like all the Star Wars books, right? So it's one of those things is, you know, I love Star Wars, but I'm not going to love every single thing, especially with the books. The books are like so hit or miss, because it really, really depends on, the author. So I'm really excited for the High Republic book next week, the Claudia Gray one, because she's such a good Star Wars author. But I'm sold on Charles Soule, and I guess he did a lot of comic book writing. And it could be difficult going from comic books into an adult book, you know, that's almost 400 pages. But he did a really good job. And like I said, I like the fact that every chapter was a cliffhanger, every single one. Like, it was like cliffhanger, and you're like, man, I want to go back to them. But then, like, you got there, and then there was a cliffhanger with them, and then you went back to here. So it was just well written. You're on the edge of your reading seat. Like, and you don't want to put the book down because you just want to know what happens in the next chapter. Yeah, like I said, just really, really good writing. So, like I said, Timothy Zahn just really, really knows how to write Star Wars. Like I said, highly, highly recommend, if anybody hasn't dug into the expanded universe or even Star Wars books in general, like I said, I say, who gives a shit about the canon, you know, the new canon books and this and that. There's the books, the expanded universe, the stories are so good. The Heir to the Empire, Outbound Flight was a Timothy Zahn novel that's actually set in the past, which was really, really good. The Darth Bane books are amazing. There's a Darth Vader book right after Revenge of the Sith It's amazing. It's really good. There's a huge book trilogy. I don't want to say trilogy, but there's like tons of books after Return of the Jedi, the Yuuzhan War. I do believe that's where Chewbacca dies. I want to say Chewbacca dies. Anakin dies. That's Anakin Solo. See, because in the books, Han and Leia have Jaina and Jacen, and they have Anakin Solo. They have three kids. And then Luke and Mara Jade, they have Ben Skywalker. And like I said, then there's another 9-book series where Luke is training Ben. Ben looks up to Jacen. And
did you say Chewbacca died?
Well, in the expanded universe, he does. Yeah, he dies.
That's terrible.
Yeah, you get in a ship. Yeah. And Anakin Solo dies. Mara Jade dies. Like I said, Jacen kills everybody, I just like there's a vast world of just really, really excellent storytelling. And I think that's why we love Star Wars, because Star Wars, the storytelling is there. And that's why I said when I picked up this High Republic book, that's why I told Steve, just the story. It just really grabbed me. Storytelling was great. So I don't know, man. You love good stories, man. Check out some Star Wars books. They're not all winners. Like I said, don't get me wrong. They're not all winners, but, cause I've read some and I've put some down and I didn't finish them. So I don't know. Hey, here we can talk about, I got another little news, topic. The KS2O droid from Rogue One, Andy, Tunic. I guess the rumor was that he wasn't going to be like in the Cassian Andor show. And I guess just it was either today or yesterday. He came out and said he would eventually be in the show. So, like I said, maybe we might not get him in season one, but maybe we'll get introduced to him in season two. Maybe when he gets him. Because he is an Imperial droid. So.
Your mom's an Imperial droid.
So I thought that was interesting. The KS2O. Remember, there was a rumor he wasn't going to be in Cassian Andor. And then Alec Tunick came out and said he will eventually be in the show.
Yeah, of course.
Well, he's one of the best parts of Rogue One, even though it's a movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's one of the best parts of Rogue One.
Yeah. I know. But you know what? I know what the best part of Rogue One is for you.
Nothing.
When it's over.
Yeah!
All right, Sith Talkers. So I'm going to wrap it up this week.
By the way, do you think when he jerks off with like the Force? Does he actually touch?
He doesn't have to touch.
Do you think
himself?
He just like.
Yeah. All Jedi. Right?
And when he comes, can he just like control where the cum goes?
We've talked about this. Remember, if you go back to one of our very, very first podcasts, I had this thing with Anakin having sex with Padme. I believe he purposefully impregnated her using the Force.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is that you know how sometimes you're laying in bed next to your wife at night and she's asleep and you want to masturbate, but you got to do it quietly. So you got to get a towel in there and fucking come in a towel or come in a sock or some shit. Do you think as a Jedi, you're able to like masturbate and like come and kind of like shoot the cum out and like hop in a toilet or some shit? Hypothetically. Of course, I'm not talking like Jess, if you're listening. It's a hypothetical. Hypothetical.
I can't make this up. No, no, there's the cliffhanger for next week.
Stay tuned.
All right, Sith Talkers, I'm going to wrap it up this week. I just want to thank everybody for hanging out with us this week. We just try to give you guys a little entertainment and have some fun. I got a little serious this week with The Light of the Jedi. I just absolutely love the book. Once again, go out and check it out. Thanks everybody for, all the new listeners, all the old listeners. We thank you. We love you. You are our Force fuckers. There you go, John. That was just for you. John, one of our old school listeners, wants us to call everybody Force fuckers. Because, right, I say Sith talkers, because we're all Sith talkers. Right?
No, because I bring it up. Because you aren't Sith talkers.
Yeah,
we are Sith talkers.
They're the Sith talkers. We're all Sith talkers.
But we're not.
We're all the Republic, right? Just like
ah, we're not.
All right, Sith Talkers, this has been episode 94, The Light of the Jedi. I've been your host, as always, Mike. Ferrando, joined by my real life brother.
They call me Steve.
And may the Force be with you, Sith Talkers.
Oh, oi, oi.
I need to go and eat a bratwurst. I'm fucking starving.
At least it's not. At least your pizza's not getting cold. Right? So till the end. So till the end. Everybody is still hanging out with us till the end. So if you go back to our earlier live streams, on more than one occasion, Lando made Steve, I guess, a little late for his pizza.
Yeah.
But you
now you're gonna make me late to my goddamn bratwurst. See, some things are built in as a joke, and some things are legit. I am like really hungry, and usually I like literally I had cold pizza twice, three times, and now I'm gonna have a goddamn cold bratwurst.
Did that come from Admiral Snack Bar?
Quick Draw says payback for the shitty piece that you got at the convention.
That was one of my favorite moments in the convention.
You're talking about the pizza? About the piece of pizza?
Lando was a bit.
No, you should have saw. You should have took a picture of it. I wish we had a picture of both pieces because everybody would side with me. Everybody would side with me if they
next
saw the
customer.
Picture. Next.
Next customer. Next. Customer.
Next. And I was like, look. I was like, look at my slice. Bro. Look at his. Bro. Next.
Bro. You don't understand, guys. You don't understand. I've never seen Mike, like, about to post up somebody. Mike was about to fight. All right? Like,
I was hungry.
If I wasn't there, he was going to fucking fight.
I was hungry.
Awesome. Awesome. Mike. I said, hey, you can have some of mine. Not the fucking point.
My pizza looked like a shriveled up fucking ball. His pizza looked fucking large and luxurious. The cheese was just melted out of the oven. My cheese was the brownish, dried up cheese, shriveled up piece. And like I said, his was the upper class. Mine was the third class piece. His was the first class piece.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude. And like, you can see on his face, he was like, yeah, man, we really fucked you. But he's like, next.
Dude, that's what was priceless. Is you. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. I had to grab Lando's arm and he was doing the like, no, fucking let me go. Fuck this guy. I'm going to fucking use the force on your ass, motherfucker. You know who I am?
You will give me a new piece of pizza.
Oh, fuck.
You will.
I was waiting for it.
I just want hashtag pizza.
That shit was funny.
Hit me up on Instagram and just say, hey, Lando, hashtag pizza. Say, I would give you my slice of pizza, Lando.
I literally
he
offered.
Did. You shared.
I shared
you
my
shared.
Slice of pizza.
It still wasn't the point.
I know. Oh, I know. You let us know about it the whole fucking time. I even did that thing where I was like, I felt so bad afterwards. I was like, hey, we could do whatever you want to do after you eat, man.
Yeah, we went upstairs. We went over here. There was like nothing, like nowhere. We had to go back to the main hall.
You're like, there's so much stuff to do, and there was nothing.
Just
the main hall. Yeah.
Anyways, all right, Sith Talkers. On that note, we are out.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry for the live listener. I managed a bunch of stores.
I'd be very impressed if you knew that riff.
Day Tripper.
Yes!
Dick, very impressed. I'm a huge Beatles fan, dickweed.
All right. Actually, you gotta do one more line. You gotta do another quote. One more.
Hold on. I got another one. How about a Han Solo quote?
Never tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds. It's that ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I know.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Hello there.